Good evening. I think this lesson this evening will kind of complement this morning's lesson, and then it gives us some things to do as far as the starting a new year. In these two verses, Paul reveals something to us about the way that he viewed life and the way he lived his life on this earth. Notice he uses the word I three times. So he is telling us something about himself personally. So Paul, by inspiration, is saying to his readers, this is what works. This is how I was able to do all that I did in the name of Christ. And Paul is a worthy example to follow, and he encouraged the Christians at Corinth to do just that. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 that we read often and should, he said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And he made a similar statement to the Philippians. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the Apostle Paul encouraged others to follow his example. And he was not saying that because of his own goodness, but he pointed to Christ as the reason that his example was a worthy one. Paul's example was good to follow only because he followed Christ, and he gave Christ the glory in his life. And that is why, at the end of his life, he was able to say this in his letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So as Paul drew nearer to his death, he knew what was waiting for him. He had been successful in his life for Christ, and he had fought against sin and against Satan, and had continued faithful as a good servant of the Lord. And he wanted others to be just as successful as he was. And so Paul is very much a worthy example to follow. And through inspiration, Paul gives us his philosophy, or you might say his formula for success, in our text for today. And let's go back to Philippians and look a little closer at what Paul told us there. First of all, become a Christian. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, he begins with the word brethren. And that shows his association with the church and with fellow Christians. And so that is why our first point and the very first thing to be considered in being successful in getting to heaven is whether or not a person is a Christian. The Apostle Paul was a Christian. He belonged to Christ. He was not ashamed of his association with Christ. But as we know, it was not always so. At one time, Paul's name was Saul, and he was even active in persecuting Christians. But we know Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and 3 days later, Ananias was sent to him to tell him this. If I can stay on the right screen, Acts 22 and 16. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it's evident that Paul obeyed those words and became a Christian, because from that point on, he became a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And he lived his life dramatically different than he had before. And instead of persecuting them, he could now call Christians his brethren. He called these Philippians brethren. And so the very first step in living a successful life is that same first step that Paul took, coming to the point in our hearts, realizing that we need to have our sins washed away and to be baptized in the body of Christ. Paul told the Galatians what baptism meant, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this is how we come into God's family. To be a son, to be a child of God, to be in God's family, and to be considered among the brethren, as Paul used the word to the Philippians. You must put on Christ in baptism, wash away your sins, and begin that brand new life as a Christian. And this is what Paul did. This was his first step in living a successful life. He obeyed the gospel. We can see another thing that Paul tells us back in Philippians 3. He's telling us to develop the right attitude. Listen to the New King James says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." The American Standard, New American Standard says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." And when Paul wrote this letter, he did not consider himself to have reached his goal yet. And he was a great man, a great preacher of the gospel, a great force for the cause of Christ. But he did not think of himself as no longer needing to grow and to mature. He knew his weaknesses, and he knew he had to stay on guard. He told the church at Corinth this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So Paul did not think that he had arrived at the pinnacle of spiritual success and therefore no longer needed to do any more, but just the opposite of that. He knew that he needed to be alert to his own weaknesses and to be on guard against giving in to temptation. And we must never get to the point that we think that we've learned everything and that we have no need of further growth as a Christian. And if we want to be successful as a Christian, then we need to have this same attitude as the Apostle Paul had. He said, "I do not count myself to have apprehended." Even with all his accomplishments, he still had the right attitude about himself and the need to continue to grow and to work for the cause of Christ. And we need that same attitude. We each need to realize that there are still ways that I can grow personally. And there is still work that needs to be done. Work to lead others to Christ. And in connection with that growing and working for Christ, Paul encourages us to set worthwhile goals. Set worthwhile goals. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." So there's the goal. Paul sets goals for himself. And that's a good thing to do. Just as we need some goals in academics or in our careers, there's a much greater need to have spiritual goals for ourselves. And they do need to be realistic. It may be good to have some short-term goals that we can accomplish in a short amount of time, in a certain amount of time. For example, maybe we would need to set a goal of reading our Bible, say, every day for a month. Or maybe start reading Matthew chapter 1 and then read one or two or three chapters each day till we get to the end of Revelation. Those are some good goals that we could set. Maybe we realize that we need to pray more. We could set a quiet time every morning, every evening, whenever it's convenient, and start doing that. And yes, we all realize that there are things that come up that interfere with our schedules. That does happen to all of us. But set that goal and stick to it as much as possible. Maybe we feel we need to do more to share the gospel with others. We could sit down and take time to send a card or a letter to someone, to invite them to services or see if they would be interested in a home study. We can do that. And there's many goals that we can set for ourselves that are not hard and they're not a burden. But they'll help us tremendously in our Christian service. And, of course, there are longer range goals that we need to set, both as individuals and as a church. And we need to spend time and thought and prayer in setting those goals. Paul said, "But one thing I do," in order to be successful in the goals that we set, we need to do as Paul and concentrate on that goal. Keep that goal as our focus, because there are so many things that will cause us to lose that focus and cause us to look at things that are not nearly as important. Here's what Paul told the Colossians. He says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Because Paul knew it is so easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? To get caught up in other things. And we need to set our minds on spiritual goals and to stay with those goals. Make them the most important things in our life. And that's what the Apostle Paul did in order to be successful. And in order to reach his goal, Paul said that he had to forget the past. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Think about the things that Paul left behind. His religion, his ancestor, he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee in the Jewish religion, probably well respected as such. But when he found that Christ had died on the cross to bring in his kingdom, Paul had to, in one sense, forget all those things. And yes, at one time the Jews were God's chosen people. But under Christ, that no longer applied. So Paul had to forget those things. Whatever he had attained in the Jewish religion was now a thing of the past. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. And what he said here. He says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So listen to how Paul talks about his past. He said that if anyone had anything to be proud of in the Jewish religion, he did. But at the end of verse 8, he calls it all rubbish. It was worth nothing now. And it just might be that a person will have to do the same type of thing today regarding their past. If a person finds himself in a religion that is false and they come to know the truth in Christ, then they will have to do as Paul did. Forget those things which are behind. And no, it's not always an easy thing. Especially if there's been a long line of family in that particular religion. And there are other things we may need to forget. There may be past sins, past mistakes, past failures, past defeats. Maybe some past hurts that others have done toward us. All these things, if we dwell on them, they will discourage us in our Christian walk. And that's exactly what Satan wants. But Paul said to forget those things which are behind. And if we want to be successful as a Christian, we need to forget those things also. And instead, we need to press forward. He said, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I understand that this word reaching is a very strong idea here. It describes an athlete or a runner who is really stretching forth or reaching out with a long stride, as long as he can, in order to get to his goal. And the idea Paul wants us to see is that success in reaching our goal is not behind us, but rather it's ahead of us. The best things are not behind us, but they're ahead. And many think the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I tend to agree with that. But the Hebrew writer talked about pressing forward in a spiritual sense. Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And then in chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Now, in verse 14, those words "full age," and then in 6 and verse 1, the word "perfection," they both have a footnote in my Bible that says "mature" and maturity. The Hebrew writer encourages his readers to reach forward to that maturity, to be spiritually sound, to be spiritually complete as Christians. And that's what we need. We need to mature to the point that we not only feed on the milk of the Word, but also those more meaty principles that are there. Spiritual maturity is a goal that Paul viewed as forward progress in his life. And in order to be successful Christians, we need to have that same attitude, that same mind. We need to keep our priorities straight. He says, "I press toward the goal." The King James says, "I press toward the mark." Victory will come to those who know what their goal is. And so what is our goal, or what is our mark? Well, we can look at several places, but let's look at a familiar passage in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, and keep His commandments, for this is man's all, or the King James says, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So there's our focus. There's our goal. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what our life should be about. And to help us focus even more is what is added there in verse 14. When we know that everything we do, whether it's good or bad, is going to be brought forth in the final judgment, that should be a sobering thought to us. That ought to help us in reaching that goal that Paul is talking about. And Paul told the Corinthians something at the end of the resurrection chapter there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 that should help us keep our priorities straight also. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this verse ought to help us to focus on what is most important. We need to be busy in the work of the Lord. And when we are, we can be sure that it's something that's not done in vain. Whatever effort we make, if it is done by the authority of Christ, it will be something that's worthwhile. It will mean something as spiritual service to the Lord. And it is a mark, or it is a goal, that we all need to press toward. And finally, here is what it's all about. Paul says that there is something that is our ultimate goal in all of this. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what is that prize that Paul is talking about? Other verses tell us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 that I have on the screen says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The prize is what Peter calls the crown of glory. James calls it the crown of life. And Paul calls it the crown of righteousness in his letter to Timothy. But Peter says it's a crown that does not fade away. In New Testament times, those who were heroes or those who were victorious in battle would receive a wreath on their head. And it was a great honor to those who received that. But you know, at some point, that wreath would wilt. And also the honor would fade and be forgotten. And it's the same with any kind of earthly accomplishments that we may have in our life, that they will fade. But Peter says, not so with this crown of glory. It would not fade away. Eternal life and eternal glory with Jesus in heaven. That's what the prize is. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 3. And it's going to be more than we can imagine. This is what Paul was working toward and striving for. And I know that's our goal also. That's why we're here tonight. We want that same prize that Paul was longing for and striving for. And Paul tells us how to do that. If you're already a Christian, develop the right attitude. Don't think you've reached the goal yet. Keep on growing and maturing. And yes, we need to set some worthwhile goals. Be realistic in those goals, but be diligent in working them. Yeah, we need to forget the past. Forget those past sins, those past failures. And instead, he said, press forward. Reach out for those things that are ahead. Those are the best things. And keep your priorities straight. Focus on the most important things, those spiritual things. And always keep your eye on the prize. If you're not yet a Christian, you can have this prize also. Answer the upward call of God in Christ. Believe and repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can do that today. If you have a need to do that, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.